This is VOA News. I'm Nicole Libous. The family of George H.W. Bush is headed to join a special train that will carry America's 41st president's casket to his final resting place. Bush's relatives left St. Martin's Episcopal Church in Houston following a funeral that was attended by about 1,200 mourners. His grandsons served as pallbearers. George P. Bush, who is the eldest, says the man he knew as Gampy is gone.
George Herbert Walker Bush is the most gracious, most decent, most humble man that I will ever know. And it's the honor of a lifetime to share his name. God bless you, Gampy, until we meet again. Maybe out on that rock boat we built together.
Close friend and former Secretary of State James Baker told the mourners there is nothing left to do but thank George H.W. Bush.
We rejoice, Mr. President, that you are safely tucked in now and through the ages with God's loving arms around you. Because our glory, George, was to have had you as our president and as such a friend.
AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports the president's remains will now travel on a train to their final resting place.
It's the first presidential funeral train since Dwight Eisenhower's nearly 50 years ago. The locomotive is number 4141 in honor of the 41st president and is painted to resemble Air Force One. It'll travel about 70 miles through rural Texas towns, where mourners along the tracks will be able to see the flag-draped coffin inside a converted baggage hauler with transparent sides.
A national funeral service was held Wednesday in Washington, D.C. Get the latest on the funeral for President Bush on voanews.com. This is VOA News. The U.S. military said Thursday one Marine was killed and five others were missing after two Marine Corps aircraft collided in midair off the Japanese coast and crashed into the Pacific Ocean. The Marine Corps said the deceased was one of two crew members recovered after the collision, and rescue operations continue for those still missing. The U.S. and its allies flew a military aircraft over Ukraine Thursday as a show of support after Russia attacked Ukrainian naval vessels in the Black Sea last month. Moscow justified the November attack and seizure by claiming the ships had illegally entered its territorial waters. The Kerch Strait is the only passage to and from the Black Sea and the Inland Sea of Azov, which is jointly controlled by Russia and Ukraine. Yemen's warring factions are in Sweden to participate in a new round of peace talks aimed at ending the four-year-old war that has pushed the small country on the brink of famine. The UN-brokered talks are the first negotiations between the Saudi-backed government and the Iran-backed Houthi rebels in 2 years. They're being held amid growing international outrage over the dire humanitarian crisis, coupled with the recent killing of U.S.-based Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Zubair Iqbal from the Washington-based Middle East Institute tells VOA Saudi Arabia has been pushed back to the negotiating table due to a push in the U.S. Senate to cut off aid to Riyadh in response to Khashoggi's murder.
So the two sides that are meeting there are meeting because of pressures that are affecting their ability to continue to fight the war.
Martin Griffiths, the U.N. official negotiating between the two camps, says the main issues are control of Sana'a's key international airport and humanitarian access and a possible power-sharing agreement. China is demanding the immediate release of a key executive of telecom giant Huawei Technologies. Canadian authorities announced Wednesday that Meng Wanzhou, chief financial officer and the daughter of the company's founder, was detained in Vancouver last Saturday on suspicion of trying to evade U.S. sanctions on Iran. Her arrest came on the same day U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping reached an agreement on a 90-day truce on their tariff hikes in order to forge a new trade pact. U.S. stocks plunged in early trading Thursday following news of that arrest. The United Nations Human Rights Office on Thursday said Burundi's government has asked it to leave months after the outgoing U.N. rights chief called the country one of the most prolific slaughterhouses of humans in recent times. Spokeswoman Ravana Shamdasani in Geneva confirmed they received a letter on Wednesday requesting them to close the office. She said they regret this decision and would like to continue their cooperation with Burundi. She declined to comment further, though, calling the issue sensitive. Burundi's been pulling back from international criticism as the first country to withdraw from the International Criminal Court. I'm Nicole Libous, VOA News.